One thing to start out with is our address, because and the reason I'm sharing that is we've been asked about what is our address. Our address is 850 Terrace Court, and I would like you to make note of the website so that you can get more information from the website, because I don't think we'll have another big meeting like this before the move-in date, and there'll be more information over there. So here's the agenda that I'm planning on going through, just the highlights of it. And mind you, this is just to get you acclimated to the location. Just bear with us. Things will change as we learn more about the building and learn about ourselves, I think, more than anything else. So the first thing I want to cover is the location. So for those of you who don't know, we are in where the Star is at. And essentially, just to highlight it, that we are on Terrace Court, and the streets to remember is Westminster and Arkwright. And I have a couple of slides that show how you can get to the building. We are recommending the primary way to get to the building is going down or going up 35E and taking University Avenue. And once you get to University, now mind you, once the Cayuga Street is done, it'll be a lot easier. We're just waiting on the MnDOT people to get done with that. And I have information for that. So take University, and then we're suggesting you take Olive Street, and you get to Phelan, okay? And then once you get to Phelan, it's a left onto Cayuga, then the usual Westminster, York, and then you make a left onto Terrace Court. Terrace Court dead ends, so once you get there, you can't leave. No, I'm just kidding. So that's the primary way of getting there is 35E to University, take Olive Street, Phelan, Cayuga, Westminster, and York. Another option, if you choose to go that way, just a secondary option, is once again 35E, but you can take Maryland. And I think a few people have done that. You go down to Arkwright. Once you get to Arkwright, and it's the same thing, you go to York to Terrace Court. So University is south of the building. Maryland is north of the building. So either way, but we're suggesting University might work better for you. If it does, if Maryland works better for you, then use that. But if you have whatever's comfortable with you, work on, you know, use the appropriate way. So that gives you kind of a general idea on how to get there. If you come north on 35E, one thing to note, and actually, I don't know, Mike Waters pointed that out to me. When you come up on 35E and you have to get to Cayuga, it's like a NASCAR slide over. it is quite a quick way, so I'm just forewarning you. If you miss, you know, Cayuga, you can go to Maryland and you'll be back at the building, so that's not a big deal. But just remember, if you come up north on 35E and you're trying to get to Cayuga, you have to do a quick jaunt. But hopefully on Sundays and the evenings, it's not going to be much activity that you don't have to do a NASCAR slide over. So once again, Cayuga, Westminster, York, and that's how you get to the building. Lastly, what I wanted to share and the pastor brought up is I went to the MnDOT website to find out when they'll be done with Cayuga, and it shows that we will be done. Oh, they will be done, I should say, in spring or summer. And some people have told me, I don't know, Brandon's here, he also told me that he's seen activity going on already in that area. So there, by the summer of this year, you should be able to use Cayuga. And once you're in Cayuga, you know, you just make a left onto Westminster, a left onto York, and a left onto Terrace, and it's pretty quick that way. Yeah, right now the north is open, which is the one I showed you earlier that you can, you know, you have to do the slide over. But both sides of Cayuga will be open come summer this year, and you should be able to north or south just jump onto Cayuga. Any questions about how to get to the building? We'll have this information on the website too, so if you forget or want to remember or forgot to take the reminder pill or whatever it is, you'll get. We'll have it on the website. We'll have Curtis put it on the website so you can see that. So that's in essence how to get to the building. There's the building as you approach it from Terrace Court, from York Avenue, and that's what the building looks like on the north side. And then we made a suggestion for the parking. I know the diagram looks involved, but there are a few guidelines that we would like you folks to keep in mind. So the green is to suggest where you can park. So on the north side of the building, there's about 13 spots, and on Sundays you can park there if you choose to. Along the side of the building, you can park. We're suggesting not to park on the other side where the red X is, and two primary reasons. One is there's a business down further at the end of Terrace Court that has semi trucks go by. So if you want new mirrors, you can use that. or if you want some new body work done. The other reason is also it's a suggestion to keep it open in case we have an emergency and we need emergency vehicles to go by. It kind of keeps it open. So that's the suggestion, is to park right next to the building. I know while we have been there, I've seen some people park on the other side. That's fine. But once we get into a routine, I suggest you park on the side of the building closest to it. Obviously, don't park into the entrance to the back of the lot. And then the green shows you in the back of the building where not to park. The red X on this side by the building is, that's where the tenant entrance is. So that's where you're suggesting not to park there. He has a garage door. And don't park on the far end, so to let people turn around and go back out, as an option to do that. The arrows indicate which way the head of the car should park. We're suggesting anything on the back of the building, park headways into the building, primarily because of the kids. We're thinking that the kids might be walking along the side of the building to get to the entrance. And if you can't see them, like my wife didn't see the stop sign last night or night before. So just park with the head of the car to facing the building so that you can pay attention to your surroundings better as to what's going on by the side of the building. Any questions? We'll have this also on the website. Yes, sir. Oh, wrong church. No, I'm just yeah. Yes, sir. I can't remember the number. It was about 70 to 80 is in the back, and then we have around the 13 on the north side. We didn't measure along the building, and then on the by the waste. The W is the waste can, so don't park in front of it. I think we have enough for what we need at this point. And the past reminded me, across the street there's the Highway Federal Credit Union building, which is we have seen rarely used on Sundays, so we plan on expanding it to that direction if we need the parking spaces. It's we're just trying to see how many of you carpool. No, there's enough. We had the architect, we gave the numbers to the architect, and they did all the count. Do park. One thing though, once we get into the building, there are no stripes, so park nice, okay? Yeah. Any questions on that figure? Yes, sir. Yes, there will be. One of the things, it'll be in front of where the H is. That's what the handicap is supposed to represent. It might get painted right after we move in, mainly because of the weather. That's what the contractor told me. So it depends on the weather. If it's too cold, they don't do it. I don't know much about paint in the parking lot, but that's what they told me. So there will be in front of, by the main entrance. Any questions? So this is the front of the building. Now, some of this information might matter to people who, the fellowship groups and the leaders. So just watch. So on the right side, that's the 850 Terrace Court, that's the address for the church, and that's the entrance for the church, if you haven't been there. The agapetus and joint heirs will meet in that location, or that side of the building. That's also the south side of the building. The middle entrance is for the rest of the groups, as you can see the names. So when you park, you'll walk on the deck, and depending where you park, you'll walk on the deck. There is no entrance from behind the building to the, from the lower level to the upstairs. So you need to walk on the deck in front of the building until we can have a fireman's pole to get people back and forth. That's for all we have. So that's the entrances that I noted that entrance so that people know that's the tenant's entrance. And I've seen them sometimes on the weekend. So we need to be attentive to not disturbing them, you know, by accidentally going into their location and things like that. So that's the Health East or Health, is it Health East, Rebecca, or Health Partner. Realize that we have a tenant and not be infringing on their space. So that's the entrances for the fellowship groups. Here's the back of the building. That's the one with, I said, don't park in front of the garage door on the left, because the tenant is usually not there on a Sunday, but he will be there in the evening sometimes, especially during the spring and summertime, loading up his truck and things like that. So don't park over there because he loads his truck with all his material to take to site. So just be cognitive of that. And then there's the center is the main entrance. The only entrance to the worship space is the main entrance, but we have three exits for fire code reasons. So there's the main entrance. I just took a picture from the inside. It just got put in this week. They're still not finished on the outside. So just to give you an idea, that's what... yeah, Dallas, I know. So there's the layout. I know it's a little small, but I just want to first show you where the tenants are upstairs. Dr. Lang, Lunda Construction, and Health Partners. And one of the things is we need to respect their space and not, especially not have the kids run through it if they accidentally left the door open. So we need to be realize that and to be business about it. The church has a contract with them. So we need to, we need to make sure that we don't infringe on that contract or the space. To highlight a little bit, that's the deck entrance I was talking about. Your entrances to the front. You can use either side of the deck to come through. Just to blow it up a little bit, for the teachers, you can see pre-K to first. So at the middle entrance right there, for those of you who haven't been there, there's restrooms right there. So that's the restrooms we can use as a church. It's a commons restroom. But do realize that restroom is also used by two other tenants. So we need to, essentially on Sunday, we need to realize that they are coming on Monday to use the restroom. So we need to be respectful of that also. The other thing is that's where the juniors meet, the grade 2 to 5, and the pre-K to first. So they're all kind of together. We kept it close together so that as we get into the building and the kids want to see where the adults are and things that, it's all next to each other. It kind of helps in that out. And plus the restrooms are right next to there. Just realize that, the building right now, once it's open, it is open. So there is no, we don't have a key card system or anything at this point. We are planning on doing something. Just look out for one another, watch over the kids. And if you need any other information, we'll pass it on to the fellowship group leaders. Yes, sir. Okay, so I'll repeat that if you didn't hear. The leadership has been talking about putting a buzzer on that door so that after Sunday school starts, you'll have to push a button if you're late and it'll buzz into the sojourner's room and somebody will have to go out there to, probably an assigned person go out there and open the door. One of the things we've been talking about lately, maybe coincidentally, is, how to protect the building and how to improve the security of the building. Just because, you know, just like we have it here at Metro to a certain degree with the security guard and things like that. But one of the things I was talking to Sean, is Sean here? Oh, there he is. I was talking to Sean and he said, you know, we need to look at ourselves like as a village, right? Where we look out for one another and don't, you know, just watch for one another, look out for one another, watch for the kids that are, even if they're not your kids, they are our kids. That's the way I look at it. So, to highlight the other area, so that's where the joint is. That's the church office entrance. That's Sam's Palace right there. That's, and look at that. He has more privilege than the Waters, who's next in line. So, then you have the archive room and the agapetus. And this also, we've been trying to, based on the sizing of the rooms and the number of people show up, the dynamics of the rooms might change a little bit. Just depends on how much we can accommodate well. Sorry, Sean. So, any questions on location? We'll have signs up and things like that, but the main thing to remember is the south entrance or the main church entrance are agapetus and joint heirs. The remaining fellowship groups are going through the middle entrance of the building. Yes? Yeah, the hot water may or may not be in right now. I can. We have to bring it from home. Sorry. So, no, we're Mike is actually waiting on me. So, just to take the pressure off Mike. Mike is waiting on me right now. So, yes. Sorry, there's an argument going on that side of the building. Yeah, now all the Sunday school is upstairs. Okay, so that you shouldn't, except for the worship team, most of the people should be upstairs during the Sunday school hour. So you shouldn't have to, unless you want to get rid of them or something. I don't know. Yes. Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the pastor reminded me to say, you know, we do plan on having building some sort of an access. In fact, the architect has already given us some conceptual designs. It just takes money. So that's why I'm thinking the cheaper way would be the fireman's pole. Yeah, like with those dumb waiters, you know, they pull up and down. Any questions on that? Are you guys getting along okay over there? Okay, good. All right, so that's the layout of the land, so to speak, upstairs. Sorry. Oh, I thought you said someday. Oh, sorry. Yeah. In the nursery, that's a good point, yeah. And we on the nursery, we'll get to that. We have some more details on it. So that's a good point. The nursery is downstairs. I forgot about that. And if you're coming for the fellowship, hour, which is upstairs, you will have to drop your kids, the ones for the nursery downstairs. So, but the ones that have to go to school, I mean, you will be right by them, hopefully. So, I don't know which group you're in. Are you in the grade 2 to 5? I'm just kidding. So, here's the fragrance-free room and the worship. We just kind of highlight what the lobby is and things like that. So the main entrance will be here. There's only one entrance to the lower level. There are two other doors. We recommend that nobody prop them open because you can prop them open. We just don't want anybody propping them open for convenience or letting air in or anything like that. Because remember, we are a village. So if there's a crack in the door, that becomes the weakest link to the area. So main entrance, use that. Walk, park as close as you can to the main entrance and use that if you're coming directly into the lower level. And then on that side, just to highlight, we have the men's room, the janitor room, the women's restroom. The meeting room eventually will be converted to a men's room, hopefully soon. But that's the location of the restrooms downstairs. They're right across from the nursery, or the nursery area, I should say. But one thing to note also, there's the exit-only door, one of them. So for the, if there's any situation in the nursery, like a fire or something, you would use the exit door coming out. Here's the nursery. So we have a toddler nursery, 1 to 3 years old. We have the mom's, the nursing room. I've been told by Mary it'll be also used to kind of have babies sleep in there. And also we'll have the baby room also, the baby nursery. There will be, the nursery folks will have a parenting meeting, which I have on a slide later, to give you more information. We're also going to be a little bit more intentional in our security with those doors once service starts, when you come in. So one of the things, if you can help us out with, is to be on time, because it'll be more convenient for you if you're on time, because once things get started, the nursery people are planning on locking the doors, and by order of the high command, you know, the pastor will have to come out, stop his sermon, go all the way, open the door. So we don't want that, no. Yeah, so just a little bit on time will help the whole thing work well, so that's all we're asking. I do have a slide for the worship space. Thanks to Mike and his team, they're helping us build a stage, a ramp, and a handicap ramp. So there will be access to the stage for handicap, wheelchair, or elderly people. So that's what I wanted to highlight here. The rest of it has stayed the same. The only thing the Andersons have corrected me is to call it the fragrance-free room. So it used to be called the perfume-free room, and it's now we are calling it the fragrance-free room. But that's the layout of the worship space right now. Safety, one of the things we wanted to highlight is in case of fire, we want people to exit to the two entrances and take the deck. Don't jump off the deck, please. So that's why the arrows are showing going left to right. And then for the downstairs, even though we have one entrance, we have three exits going out, and essentially be orderly in the manner, in the way you exit. So that's the highlight of the building. The one and two is to suggest, and these are recommendations so that we kind of together work together, is spot one or spot two is in case there's a problem with the building or fire with the building or you hear the fire alarm go off, you know, you can choose location one or two. We're suggesting not to be in the back parking lot because we don't know what the emergency vehicles need for access and things like that. And plus, one of the things Cha pointed out is we don't want anybody isolated because there's only one exit entrance to the parking lot. So, and if the vehicles pile up, you know, the fire truck stops right there, then you're stuck back there. I just put a few points on the case of fire, and this is just general information. In case of fire, always call 911, exit in an orderly manner, don't run over each other. Assist visitors. So main thing, if you see visitors, please help them and people who need help. The deacons will take the lead as much as possible until the authorities arrive on site. One thing I was going to suggest is if as a family, because things are in different places and depending on where it is, try to have a discussion just like you hopefully you have at your house as to what is the orderly exit plan, where do you want to meet as a family because of things. And the nursery people will identify during the parenting meeting, you know, where they will be in the event of something like that happens over here. Any questions? Yes, sir. The tornado bad storm area will, the closest thing we have is the worship space downstairs. And in the upstairs, it's like the center of the building, which is like the Sojourners building. But ideally, you want to be downstairs in the worship space. So there's and so the question was, if you didn't, do we have any tornado space? The main thing is to stay away from external windows and glass. That's your biggest hindrance, actually. And so the center of the building is the best. Downstairs is the best, of course, in the worship space. That's where it's at. If you really want to get tighter, you can all arrange, you know, meet in the nursery room because those rooms have no windows at all and it's concrete all the way around. So, Security. One of the things I want to talk about is security because there have been questions and comments made about where we are. And some of this might be basic, some of it might be just a reminder, but the point is these are just simple steps to follow. So outside, one of the things we want you to be is attentive of your surroundings, just like you would be at the parking lot, you know, down further down the street. But we just want you to be more attentive of your surroundings. Sean helped me put some of this together, and one of the things is we thought is if you're not comfortable, if you're the first one on site and it's like 11 o'clock at night, which I don't know why you would be, but we would have to talk. Something's up. But if you're alone, if you're there alone and you're uncomfortable, just drive away. There's no reason for you to stay, no reason for you to get angst. Go get some coffee and then come back later. Park as close as possible to the entrance for your convenience and for allowing you to get into the building quicker. Big thing is remove distractions. One of the things we have been advised by the local, we had a police, commander of the local area. He came and visited and talked at the deacons meeting. He said the biggest thing is cell phones. People are using cell phones as they're walking, using their tablets, looking into their purses. I don't have a purse, but you know, just things like that. And so when you're exiting your car, just, you know, look around you and walk to the car, because the biggest thing is not that necessarily you'll be accosted. It's just people will just grab the stuff and run if you have to. So it's no difference if you're in other places too. Yeah, basically it's keep not only the cell phones, but everything in your pockets and just walk through. Mind you, I've been there many times at this building, even at night, purposefully many times, and I haven't had any issues myself. I've been walked parts of the neighborhood, and I haven't had any issues. So, but I'm, you know, different, I guess. People stay away from me. Well, my wife says it's because I'm brown. I don't know what that means. Oh, no. If you witness a concern, you know, just call 911. Don't address it yourself. Don't put on the cape and try to fly through the parking lot and try to fix something. Don't confront. We recommend call 911. If you choose to confront, you need to do it safely. But we advise not to confront. And during Sunday worship service, Sean and Larry are going to help us out with some type of a periodic patrol. Parking lot will be lit up at night. For those I had a question, well, there's not enough lights right now. All the lights are not hooked up yet. There will be enough lights. There's lights by doors, large LED lights. You'll need sunglasses sometimes, I think. And there's big lights. Yeah, Graham is on nodding his head, yes. But there'll be bigger lights also off the deck. We have asked them to add extra lights on both ends of the deck facing the you know, shining down on the parking lot. So we will have lights. Softest targets are the most attractive targets. And what that means is essentially if you leave things on your car, leave your doors open, if your windows roll down, you know, all that kind of stuff. If you forget something in your car and it's viewable, those are all soft targets, you know. So those are the types of things that you need to be careful. Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. Or you could go golfing, I guess. Is that what you're trying to do? Tell me. What, now that you're done at trailer ministry, you're going to start golfing now? We got other work for you, buddy. evening events, if there are, especially women events, we are recommending that try to use the assistance of men, especially around, you know, in the perimeter and things like that. Lock vehicles and empty them of all. So to answer Mark's questions, it is advisable that we don't leave anything viewable as best as we can. You know, and once again, it's, you know how it is once something starts, then they'll remember. That's all we are trying to do is we're trying to do prevention versus cure. You know what I mean? Does that make sense what I'm trying to say? So as long as we try to do prevention, we'll be fine. Hidden valuables in vehicle, the commander told us the criminals are very smart. So even if you try to hide your purse under your seat, they will see it. And actually, you shouldn't be doing that anyway if you go to any other place either. So you get in the habit of just not hiding things in your car. Don't give money or loan your phone. That's what the commander told us. Is that starts a repetition of dependency, especially when it comes to money. And these are some, mind you, this is on coming into the building. As we learn and as the leadership coaches us, you know, how to manage and handle and be kind, we'll get better at it. But out of the gate, this is just a suggestion at this point. Watch for tag teaming. We learned that from the commander, where two people might approach you and try to, one will distract and the other one will grab your cell phone, which is out in the open, for example, and take it, kind of thing. So that's what he coached us. Use the help of the deacons to resolve concerns. We actually had a deacon meeting yesterday, and we talked about some of the concerns that we had over there. So we are also coaching the deacons to get kind of more, not aggressive, but more forward-thinking about it.
Yeah, just let me address this a little bit. I'll be so happy when we get in our building. Concerning security, folks, it's no different than where we are right now, to be honest with you, okay? In fact, it's probably safer because we're in a cul-de-sac and there's no houses around us. It's industry around us. But this is what we're trying to get everybody to be alert to, okay? Be alert. That's all. Be on code yellow all the time. You should be anyways. You're walking all the way from First Lutheran, you know, now to get to this place. So, you know, don't be afraid, okay? We're a city center church. We're not an inner city church. We're a city center church, and we want to serve the people in the city. And so this is what God has called us to. This has been the vision of the church from the very beginning. Now, I know, yes, last week we had a disturbance. And we're handling that, and we're dealing with that. And it was a great wake-up call for all of our deacons, and that's what we talked about yesterday at the deacons' meeting. From now on, folks, and you can spread this around to one another, okay? If you're ever approached by anybody in the congregation about money or helping them out and so forth and so on, the best thing to do is bring them to a deacon. Refer them to a deacon. That's what we have deacons for. They can help you. And we want you to be aware of that, and we stand ready to help. You do not ever have to feel uncomfortable. You can just say, well, let's go talk to Grant, or let's go talk to Alex, or, you know, one of the deacons. Or let's go talk to Pastor. And they'll probably fade away really quick, you know. I don't know why. But I just want to tell you, there's nothing to be afraid of, okay? We serve a great God, and he watches over us. So just buck up. Let's get going. And this is what we're called to do. And we will be watching out in every which way for security. Okay? So.
So inside the building, kind of repetition, brief. But one thing we're saying, be friendly, but be cautious. Welcome visitors. We don't put them against the wall and frisk them or anything like that. That's not what we want to do. So be attentive, but be thoughtful, you know, and look out for your brother and sister. Remember, once again, I'm going to put that village thought into your mind. Look out for one another, because we are a family. We're a church family. Sorry? Yeah. If you witness a concern, you know, call 911. Don't confront. If you choose to confront, same thing. The one thing also, as we're getting to the routine, we will have a staff that's going to look at things. But help us out that if you're the last one out for some reason, shut the door, shut the lights off, and you know, just to help us out as we get into the building. Just remember, you know, God has given us this property, as I said in my prayer, to use for his glory. And the only thing we're asking is to be wise, but also kind to the people who come to his church. You know, that's all we're trying to do. And we have two verses. First one is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So keep that in mind. Note it down if you have any concerns. And then the second one I have is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So remember that. God is with us. He has blessed us with this building. He's definitely with us. He has put us, the challenges that were put in front of us, he helped us out, figure out solutions. So he's with us. He will be with us. So just be mindful of that. Any questions on security? Yes. Yeah, and I've also driven at night around there. There are some, you know, usually if people are in angst, you can tell by how well the cars are and things. You know how you can tell? There's lots of decent vehicles, and at night I hardly see anybody. In fact, it's what I think it's perfect for our church to go out into, you know, for evangelism because there's nobody. Yeah. So I'm just letting you know it is. I've heard stories about the neighborhood, but I haven't seen things to back it up right now. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying I have canvassed the neighborhood too, and I haven't seen any concerns. Okay, next is general use information. Definitely be welcoming to visitors and friends. Parents, one of the things we do want to say is we want you to watch your kids, mainly because we are new to the building. We don't know every nook and cranny of the building. And you know how kids are, right, Max? I'm just picking on Max. But you know, just realize that we do need your assistance with the building. And there's lots of new areas, and kids will be excited to find these new areas. So just be mindful during, you know, after service and before service, you know, don't do the drop and run kind of thing. Yeah, watch your kids, mainly for their protection and probably for other people's protection too, just for their safety from that standpoint. We do ask you to respect the neighbor's property, the one that the pastor talked about, the name it, claim it one. It's not ours yet. We haven't claimed it. So... we respect the tenant space, like I shared. We are recommending people not use the east deck. The east deck is the one above the main entrance. It has the main entrance to the lower level. The deck on the north side and south side has their own entrances. We're just suggesting not to use that. In fact, we've already found out from the architect from a code. From a code standpoint, you need the deck. We found it from the architect with the sizing of the building. We don't need that deck. So one of the things we're considering in the future is essentially getting rid of the deck. So, but we suggest that nobody use that deck in the back. Yeah. Yeah, if any of us see kids up there, you know, graciously correct them and have them come off the deck. We might put barbed wire. No, I'm just kidding. Electrified. So be patient, share. One of the things I wanted to say is be patient and share your talents. We are just trying to learn the building, learn how to use it. It may not be perfect to your standard. In fact, I got a voicemail from one of the tenants downstairs. He left me a voicemail and he goes, Alex, I'm not calling you for concern, but this is wow. Because he saw it in its kind of original state and he came in 4 months later and he goes, what happened? He goes, so we are working towards it. If you hadn't seen it in its original state, it's a surprise to where it's at right now. God has blessed us with so many things, with the contractor, the architect, and all this, and with the money we had, the little money we had, you know, that's what they have brought us to. Pray for and look for one another. That's one thing I do ask all of you. Put it on your prayer list as we get into this new building. Pray as we learn how to run a building. I don't think any of us has run a building. And it does, we have to run a building, not only for the church, but for the tenants and just to keep it in proper order. Pray for wisdom for the leadership. I do ask you to do that because we are learning as we go, and I got the bumps and bruises to prove it too. So that's the general information. Quick, try to do a rundown on some highlights as fast as I can. Security, we talked about the do's and don'ts. We are recommending we use name tags in earnest, especially because if we have visitors on site. If you want to join the team, Sean is advising us and helping us. And he's recruiting. He's standing by the door, I noticed. So you know what that means. Nobody's leaving now until they sign up. Parking lot. And men, it's really important that you help us out with that ministry because that's where we need your help. Fellowship groups, we talked about the location. They're 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Classroom located upper level. Main contact is either your group leader or Charlo. So if you have any questions about that. Greeters, we're thinking the same number of people as Metro. Expected to be at the main entrance just like at Metro. Len Parento is doing the scheduling on that. If you feel moved to assist with that, you can contact Len Parento. And I'm going through these. Just make a note. If you're interested in some of these or partially interested in some of these or somewhat interested in some of these, make a note of these. And put the contact right by your notes so you can contact the person. Ushers, we are increasing the staff on the ushers a little bit, mainly because over here we have two aisles. In the new facility, we'll have three aisles. So we'll have ushers on all three aisles. So on a regular Sunday, it'll be three ushers. On a communion Sunday, it'll be six. You know, the usual three in the front, three in the back, and things like that. They will also tend to the welcome table and any new name tags or anything that need to be issued. They will provide communion to the fragrance-free room and the nursery attendants, so we have talked to them about that. And Grant is doing the scheduling for that if you need any contact information for that. Communion, new communion table, we'll move it in front of the stage because the stage is already being occupied by the worship team. So we're going to have the communion table in front of the stage. The fragrance-free room users and nursery stand will be served by the ushers. Like I said, worship team will need a table or stool on the stage. So this is mainly for the Andersons, Ray, if we remind you, and Craig and Joanne, so to help us out. Nursery, we're going to have, as you saw in the diagram, separate rooms for the babies and toddlers. The nursery leadership has thought they'll have two shifts. Right now we have one shift for the whole process, and it's going to be two shifts. One is going to be for the fellowship group hour, and the other will be for the worship hour, if you want to call it that. Keep in mind, we have, in essence, three rooms. We'll have three people on the and of course, that number will change it depending on the number of babies and things, number of babies show up. Five people for the 10 a.m. and because of the two rooms. So the fellowship hour might use one room depending on what the kids are, and then it'll separate into two rooms for that. One of the things to keep in mind, being a new building, before the nursery service is available and after worship service, we request parents to watch their own kids for the kids' safety, and we are kind of just reminding us. I know I've already shared that before. there will be a new security procedure that I already mentioned or alluded to protect our kids, and we'll have that detail at the parent meeting. So make a note, all parents and future parents, make a note of the meeting so that you can see. It's going to be on April 3rd on Sunday at 9:55. At Metro, I said they told me 10 a.m., but I said 9:55. So they'll meet in the joint heirs down in Metro over here in the basement, in the joint heirs room. Does anybody know the room number? Anyway, it's the one right down below. You'll see where all the kids are, second door to the left. Scheduled by Brigetta. Main contacts are Mary and Brigetta. Worship, for the most part, acoustic practice will happen during the week, so it won't be powered. And then initially, the worship team is staying the same in terms of quantity and people and things like that. And Sam is doing those arrangements. If you want to participate with the worship team, you know, contact Sam. audio video. We're using the same existing sound equipment. We did a run through one time just to see, not only for sound, but to make sure we had the the equipment would reach and all that. So it worked out well. Equipment setup will be set up all the time. And we're reducing the staff to 3 people, which is the soundboard, laptop. Oh, I'm losing my voice. soundboard, laptop, and technical support. We will have a new projector and network equipment. One of the things to just let people know, we don't have it wired on day one to the nursery. So we're setting up a little radio transmission so you can pick it up by any radio. So if you have a clock radio or something, at least you'll be able to listen to it in the nursery. Eventually, we will have video and sound in the nursery. It will be shortly. We're going to do it after the contractor leaves. We're waiting for the contractor to leave, and then we'll do it. So, and then the scheduling, of course, will be done through Planning Center. Janitorial, we're still discussing on volunteer or paid crew. We asked Mike to help us out temporarily for 3-4 Sundays. I forgot how many Sundays I told him, Mike. 4 Sundays. But then we'll through the finance team, we'll decide to have whether there's a volunteer or paid crew. There will be janitorial equipment downstairs and upstairs. I think, Mike, you've already got some of that, right? Yeah. we are not responsible to clean the tenant space. And, of course, we are responsible for cleaning the general cleaning of the parking lot and things like that. Any issues for now, report them to Mike Waters. Repair and maintenance, in case you're wondering, we have to maintain all of our space. We have to maintain the utility type equipment, like the AC unit, the HVAC unit, those types of things. But all general maintenance is to be done by the tenants. We will, depending on funding, we'll continue to update and maintain equipment throughout the space. Temporarily, right now, Mike is the contact for us as we get into the building. Just be mindful, once again, we're trying to get into the building is the focus with all the right amenities, but maybe not all the right privileges, if I could say it that way. Tenant relationships, main contact will monitor the tenant needs and contracts. So we want one person going to the tenant. Any issues, you know, if you see any, or if a tenant approaches you with any issues, we don't want you to addressing the tenant or providing a solution or a response, because we need to keep within the confines of a contract. So that's what the main thing is. So Rebecca has been dedicated as the tenant contact. So any issues, you know, you see or identify, or you feel need to be taken care of, you know, talk to Rebecca first. Don't take it to the tenant, okay? And main thing is we shouldn't be in their space. Fragrance-free room. We do not want any fragrance or chemicals. Hey, Mom, do you have water? No, no. Do not want any fragrance or chemicals in the room. Both doors are keyed. Both doors are keyed. And when I say both doors, the inside door and the outside door. So, and all the furnishings in the room are provided by the Andersons. And we say we should not be removed from the room. Craig Anderson will handle all the cleaning in the room. So, we have informed Mike Waters that to let the staff know nobody has to go in there, and none of us should. We're trying to keep the room as clean as possible. They have their own, HVAC unit, so they have their own self-contained unit, things like that. So we don't want anybody to remove anything. So if there's chairs in there, we don't want you to pull it out. And if there's if you're having like an argument like those two over there, you can't go take your chairs and go into the room. So we want the room completely just handled and managed by the Andersons. So, and this is Craig and Joanne. So those are the just general ministry things. I just want to say a thank you to the stage set up in Teardown. This might be the last time I'm talking to you as a group. Our nursery set up in Teardown, so I want to thank all of you for doing that. Trailer ministry for all the help, all the early morning helps. Thank you for all of that too. I also want to take the opportunity to thank all the people who have been helping us, you know, with the building. getting it ready, helping us with the cleaning. Yesterday, I did a fantastic job cleaning all the floors. I think it started at 8 and ended at 8:30 or something like that. So thank you very much for that. Thank you for the break. I do. It's coming. Didn't, you came in late. Didn't you see the timer up above? Thank you very much. I had a... Mark. I'm just... Yeah, I do have a date. I'll show it to you in a second here. But first of all, I just want to thank all of the people who are here and not here, actually, for helping us being in Metro and also helping us get into the new building. So I have a series of questions, and to answer your question, Mark, it is one of my questions. So what will be available? I'm trying to guess what I call FAQ type. What will be available on day one? Essentially, everything we need to have for the first service in the building. Not everything for the building will be operational, like the big men's room. So that won't be there. But give us time. It'll be there. Will there be construction going on while we are there? And at the move-in, the contractor will have punch list items to resolve. And whoever asked me, like the handicap parking has to be painted outside. They have to put those yellow bollard thing. They call them bollards. I don't know why they call them that. But it's the yellow stuff to protect the equipment so that a car doesn't, so Graham, when he runs with his car across the parking lot, it doesn't run into any equipment. So they have to put some stuff like that. But inside the building, especially inside the worship space, that should be all done. The lobby should be all done. Nursery should be all done. The only thing is trying to get video and audio and those types of things. But as a facility, it'll be ready to go. You can work on concrete floor. What's wrong? Okay. Will there be Wi-Fi available? We have been asked that. Not till the complete system is in place, and we want to have a policy in place to protect the church and protect ourselves and protect the. When I say ourselves, I mean as a church. So we want to be diligent about that. So we won't have Wi-Fi available to call it the general BOH public and visitors. So. Who should I contact to use the building after hours? I've been asked that question. We don't have that set up right now. We want to focus our time and to our services and trying to get organized and going, especially with fellowship group. What can I do with the building? Contact your elders and deacons. There's work to do. You can help us out. If you see something wrong, you know, and you can help us out with it, help us out with it is the way. But don't go doing it on your own. How safe is the area we are in? I said our safety is mostly dependent on how we conduct ourselves, how secure we are with the building, like propping the doors open. You know, we don't want to do that. How we look out for one another and how proactive we are with security. So really it's up to us as a village kind of thing. What will the sound be like in a new place? Okay, this will be the learning challenge. We'll need a few Sundays to figure it out. We've already done it one. It is a little bit, I'll be upfront a little bit. It is not a little bit. It is echoey in there. But we don't want to put technology and money into it ahead of being in there. At least that's my preference. We want to learn about that building a little bit from a sound standpoint before we invest into the building on that. Actually, we're trying to save also $20,000 or something like that. It's what the guy wanted to charge us to look at it. Where will there be tables and chairs upstairs for the fellowship group? Yes. You don't have to bring cardboard boxes, so that's yes. Will the building and construction end up on budget? So we have encountered a few challenges. We are right now about 2.9% off, about 64K off. There are some things that we are looking at to bring it down, but you know, if you have a long lost relative who can help us out with, then we're more than open to that, or long lost employer or whatever. So if you can help us out with that, but I just want to be upfront about that so that you know where we are at this point. Let's see. Will the church improve the enhance? Of course, it depends on funds. And you will see things that you will want the church to do. Just be patient and be mindful that we are looking at it. You can bring it to our attention, but just that there is a priority list that we're trying to address from a standpoint of worship and glorifying our Lord. Will the fragrance-free room hear sound? Yes. We'll connect the sound equipment to the Craig Anderson's equipment, so they'll have sound in there. Will the nursery people be able to hear sound? Already covered. Initially, at first, it'll be radio, then eventually be video and sound. What are the near-term needs for the building? These are some of the near-term needs. I'm not going to read them out. You already know some of them, probably. We have talked about it before. The main thing is, what I would like to pass on is, we need to be grateful for what we have already. We need to feel the blessing, more importantly, rather than worry about what we don't have. The Lord has blessed us with a lot of it right now. I mean, 2 years ago, we were just, I mean, it is a big blessing that we have got. So just be mindful of that. The Lord has blessed us, and we need to be grateful through prayer for what he has given us. So this is the pastor's cue.
Yeah, whenever you get into a new building, where's my picture?
You want a picture up?
Oh, yeah, put the picture up. Whenever you get into a new place, there's a tendency to want to help the church out by bringing donations and everything. So a word about donations. Due to the lack of storage space, we are asking the congregation to limit donations of stuff, both new and used, okay? And if you do want to donate something, we're asking that you go through the following two individuals who have volunteered to be our gatekeepers for donations, if you will. The first one is Curtis Gabrielson for all things having to do with technology. So if you have some of those nice 50-inch screens that you want to donate, you know, for the nursery and for, you know, other places, just contact Curtis. Anything to do with computers or screens or, you know, anything like that, please contact Curtis. And then everything else, contact Kelsey LaValle. Kelsey LaValle. Now, this is before you make the donation. Don't come to the church and let them know. You check with them first, and they'll let you know if we can actually use it, maybe even want to take a look at it. Please understand, folks, that we are moving into a new building, and we've been doing everything as we have been able to in our church plant. Somebody once asked me, when does a church plant stop being a church plant? And my answer was, when we get a building. We've got a building now, and we want to do things well. When you see the new building, it's going to take your breath away. It's a very nice building, and there is a design team that's in place that has been working with the architects with color and finishes from the very beginning, and that design team is made up of Ann Lowell, Jennifer Jones, Kelsey LaValle, and Mary Linetti. They're kind of our gatekeepers to make sure that everything fits together, and when you come into the new building, you'll see that it's a nice building. It all fits together. That's because we've had a design team working with the architect, and we want to preserve that if we can. So we're not being mean or anything, but we just want to kind of orchestrate these donations. So please take heed of that. Curtis with anything to do with technology, and Kelsey with everything else. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And I just want to say, we need to give a hand of applause to this man right here. We need to do a lot more than that, but this will suffice for right now. Alex has gone way beyond in providing us the leadership to get in this building. I am so grateful personally because I am not a detail guy. I am not a detail guy. Unless you're talking about theology and the Word of God, then I'm detailed. But everything else, I'm the broad picture guy. I have the vision. By God's grace, I saw this building as being a good building to move into together with Cha, and we moved for it. But from that point A all the way to this Z has been all this guy and all of his talents in projects. I'll tell you what, I can't thank him enough. I just want to thank him. He's also a great travel partner.
So to answer Mark, thank you, Pastor. And to answer Mark's question, you were asking about when we'll move in. Right now, the contractor is to be done March 30th, April 1st. There will be a few things left, like, for example, the nursery carpeting is going to be done that following week. But for the most part, what you should pray is the week before, which is the week of the 25th, I think, is going to be all the final inspections and things like that. And right now, it doesn't look like anything's being found, but we had a few surprises. So the only thing that would stop us is if the inspection people find something that's going to take time to put in to get resolved. But the contractor has been pretty quick on anything that has come up. So I don't see a problem right now. So essentially, our first service is April 10th. I call it the prep staff. We may have a staff that kind of just helps us get the kind of cleaning up, general cleaning, restrooms, that kind of stuff. Worship practice, 8:30, fellowship group, 9, which is mainly upstairs, and then the worship service starts at 10:30. If you have any questions, I always put this address up. You can, it's just my first letter, initial and then last name. So what I did is, I don't know if it'll show up, but yeah. So there, as the pictures rotate through, do you have any other questions? Yes. We want kids to stay off of that. So, good question. Essentially, we don't want kids on that far, I don't have a picture for that, I wish I did, on the far retaining wall and the neighbor's, property on that side. We haven't talked to them. For the most part, if you want the kids to be outside, it's probably in the parking lot itself. If you choose to have the kids play in the grass in the front, my advice is you need to be there, because to me that's too close to the street, and we don't want people darting. If there's a row of cars parked along the west side of the building, we don't want kids darting through there, you know, through the thing. So, good question. Yes. Beverages. Right now, we're still working on the final details on that. Right now, we prefer no food and no, water would be fine for the worship team and company on that. But we prefer right now not to have anything in the worship space. Yes. Yeah. So it's just to let us get, it's not necessary to we don't want anything dirty or anything like that. It's just that we are trying to figure out things ourselves from how the floors can be used and things like that. Mary was pointing out, like, or maybe Pastor said about slip people dropping water on the concrete floor and people slipping and things like that. So, did that answer? Yes. The question was, how many chairs will there be? And we have purchased 200 chairs. And Noah, you're going to help us unload on Friday, because I need help. I need six people is what I would prefer. Six able-bodied. Okay, Graham is one. Friday to about 2 o'clock, right? It'll be Friday afternoon. This coming week, the 20. Good Friday. So we will expect you to carry the chairs like you would expect to carry. No, you don't. You got other stuff. Okay. So we need about six men and probably three women if we can help us out. Plus Mary will be there. The women will be used to inspect the chairs. The men will take it off the truck and then open up the car and take it off the truck and then go to the inspection station, if you want to call it that. And then after the inspection station, we'll have people carry it into the worship space. Yeah, we have a two-hour window, is what Mary said. After that, we'll have to pull out the kitty. It'll be in the afternoon. Right now, we're targeting 2 p.m. on Friday afternoon. Mary will. So, do we have a? Can anybody help us? Okay. So all you folks with your hands up, you can either send me an email or Mary an email about that. Okay. Any other questions? Are the pictures looking good? Because they're behind me. I don't even know. Nikki, you have your hand up or you're just leaning? Well, if there are no questions, and I'm sorry I ran over, but I want to thank you for your time and your patience with us. I look forward to seeing you all and then some at the new building. Just be patient. Just be attentive. Just be mindful. Do not be worried about where the building is located at. The focus should be worshiping our Lord. I mean, that's where we need to put our strength into it. But right behind that, you know, we need to make it as comfortable as possible, as best as we can, with the resources that the Lord has provided us. So, anything else? I'll leave the pictures running. If you have any questions, you can talk to me later. Thank you very much for your time.